Please be seated.
It's good to be here this morning. I'm excited to kick off our VBS. This week we're going to be doing a lot of study on Noah and the flood and what the circumstances of it were and focusing on that time in God's plan. But today I want to focus on Noah and his character. You know, often when we read our Bibles, I think we see accounts of people who do great things for God with miraculous power. And for me at least, sometimes I find it discouraging. I say, you know, I can't do that stuff because I don't have that power. But to me, Noah is a reminder that though I might not have that impressive power from God, I can still do as He wills. And God shows us this a couple of times. We know that He uses these patterns to show us things. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says that the Sabbath was a pattern they were supposed to follow. And that in Romans 15 and verse 4, it says that things written in former days were written for our instruction and for the Romans' instruction. So God's plan shows us some patterns like that. But let's talk about Noah. Who was Noah? Well, Noah is the 10th in line of patriarchs from Adam. He's the last patriarch to come before the flood. And Genesis 6 and verse 5 tells us that Noah lived in a time of great sin. Verse 4 says that humanity around him was a sea of wickedness, and that these heroes of old lived around him. And this heroes, this word carries this idea of tyrants, of proud, magnified men. They're not really the kind of heroes that you could look up to. In many ways, that makes Noah not really a standout guy. He didn't have great strength like Samson, wisdom like Solomon, or miraculous powers like prophets from God used. Noah was like us. He wasn't the strongest of his time. We read that the Nephilim roamed the earth. And it says in verse 4 that, again, they were mighty, mighty heroes. And, you know, many explanations exist for who these Nephilim actually were, you know, who the sons of God were that created them. And I think all the explanations get one thing right and make one thing clear. They were all stronger than Noah. This, I think, led them to feel they no longer needed God. So what did make Noah unique? Well, he's the only man on the earth this time to find grace in God's eyes. We read in verse 9 that Noah was a godly man, blameless among his contemporaries, and he walked with God. You know, Noah wasn't sinless, but he was one who made a diligent effort to seek out God and the way of righteousness. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says that by faith Noah, that is chapter 11 and verse 7, if you want to turn there. It says this. It says, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says that if God did not spare the ancient world in the flood, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. So Noah is an heir of righteousness because of who he is, and he is a herald of righteousness, of being right with God because of who he is. And I'll also add that being blameless like Noah was is one of those requirements that we have for elders in Titus chapter 1 and verse 6. It's good to be like Noah. So yeah, who's Noah? He's a man with a couple of things from God. Noah gets a plan for salvation and a deadline. Let's read about this plan for salvation. And we'll start in Genesis and verse 11, or Genesis 6 and verse 11. It says this: Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He goes on and he says, Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you're to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. And take with you every sort of food that is eaten and stored up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded of him. So what did God ask him to do? He asked him to build a boat. He said, get in the boat. And you and your family will be saved. And you'll save the animals. You'll be salvation for my creation. So it rains. Noah builds the ark. Noah brings his family into the ark. Noah brings the creation into the ark. And then it rains for 40 days. It floods for 40 more. And water stays on the earth for 150 more days. And then he comes to rest on a mountain. And by him, God's creation is saved. And if you think about it, the way that God saved Noah is the first in a pattern for the way God saves. So let's look at some other times that God saves. Moses was saved in the ark. So Moses is the son of the Levites. In the first chapters of Exodus, you know, we read that he was born at a time when the Pharaoh of Egypt was seeking to destroy all the male children of the Israelites. His mother hid him for 3 months, but could hide him no longer. And she placed him in a basket and set him in a river. Now this word for basket is the word for ark. It's the same. Noah was placed in an ark. And that led to the salvation of the Hebrews once again. An Egyptian princess finds him and brings him into her house. And he grows up to be a leader of the Hebrews, leading the way to the front door of the land that they were promised, Canaan. So Moses is the salvation for God's people. And again, there's Jonah. Jonah is sent to Nineveh, or is told to go to Nineveh. But he doesn't want to go. He gets on a boat and he flies away the other way. He says, no, I don't want to do it. Nineveh is sinful. It will kill me. God's not one to let men run from his will. So he sends a storm. And the boat shakes and quivers. And Jonah knows that if he is to be saved, he's got to get out of the boat. But still there's salvation. God preserves Jonah in the fish through the water. So just as Noah was saved through water, and just as Moses was saved through water, so Jonah was. And so Jonah brings salvation to Nineveh, at least for a little while. Jonah was saved in the fish. And further, through Jesus, we are saved through water. Through his sacrifice, we are saved in Christ. So then what does God ask us to do? He asked Noah to build that boat. He sent Moses all the way through the wilderness up to Canaan. He sent Jonah to Nineveh, and he sent Jesus to the cross. So where does he send us? Well, first, he asks us to be saved like Noah was saved. Let's read about that in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, we'll start there. It says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." So we are saved through water the same way that Noah was saved through water. And I'll also add that God's patience with Noah and with the unrighteous led to his salvation. He has that same patience still. Romans 6 says this about our being cleansed through water. And it says in verse 6 and verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." So just as Noah, Moses, and Jonah passed through the waters, so have we. We can now walk in new life, matching Christ's steps. We're like Noah. None of us have been given superhuman ability or power. But we do have the same things that Noah did. Let's read about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, it says this, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." God chose those who did not have power in this world to do his will. And God gave us the same things. So God has given us a plan, and we have a deadline too. We have to obey God. Had Noah been complacent, had he waited for the right time, waited for the weather to get better for him to build that boat, he would have been lost, along with the Nephilim and all that sinful generation. And we have a deadline too. Matthew chapter 4, or chapter 24 and verse 38, Matthew 24 and verse 38 says this, For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware, until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in verse 2, it says, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Noah was a man who found salvation by keeping his eyes on God while those around him were continually focused on evil. He found salvation by doing as God had commanded all his days. And God asks the same of us. We can do the same. Noah was a regular guy that just wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do. So what do we need to be doing while we're here? If you'd like, you can put your notes up. For those who are in Christ, right, we need to be about the Lord's business, doing good works like we read of in Titus, bearing one another's burdens like we find in Galatians in chapter 6. And if you're not in Christ, you have an opportunity to be like Noah, to be like Moses, to be like Jonah, to be like most of us here, to confess that Jesus is Lord, to repent of your sins, and to be washed in water, not for the removal of dirt, but for the cleansing of your soul. So if you'd like to do that, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.